Man, that was some awesome worship right there. Well, good morning. God bless you all. Thank you all so much for coming out this morning. It is always a joy to be in God's house with my brothers and sisters celebrating and worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the greatest day of the week. And when you start your week off right, God will continue to move in your life. Praise the living God this morning. Hallelujah. Well, thanks again for coming out. I'm excited today. So this morning, I want to start out with this question. How many of you in here, by a show of hands, would love to see a mighty move of God right now? Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. A mighty move of God in your life. A mighty move of God in your family. Somebody in here this morning needs a mighty move of God in their family right now. A mighty move of God in this church. A mighty move of God in our generation. Man, that sounds exciting, doesn't it? I believe many of us in here right now are praying and longing to see this mighty move of God happen in our lives. I believe many of us in here this morning are praying and longing to see a mighty move of God that brings revival to our world. A mighty move of God that brings healing to our nation. Hope to our broken communities. A mighty move of God is just what we need in our world today. And I believe many of us in here this morning are praying and longing to see this mighty move of God take place in our lives, in our world, during our generation. But I also believe this morning that the reason we are not seeing this mighty move of God that we are praying for and longing to see that brings a true revival to our world is because God knows that we are just too busy. God knows that our prayer to bring about revival and our actions, they just don't align. Just imagine with me, what if revival broke out here in this church and in this area for the next 6 months? Woo! Revival broke out all across Orangeburg and the surrounding areas. How many of us in here this morning will honestly be able to say that we will dedicate our lives to be here every single day for the next 6 months to see souls saved, to see people bound with addiction set free? To see those who have sicknesses and diseases healed from their trauma. To be blunt this morning, how many of us in here this morning could actually afford to be here every single day for the next 6 months of our lives? Pastor Billy shared a message a few weeks ago from the book of Proverbs, and he explained how the borrower is a slave to the lender. And the American way has taught us to borrow our way to the top and appear to have success. God knows that our prayers for revival and our actions to bring about revival, they just don't align. In other words, faith without works is dead. And please, please, let me just say that this message is not meant to condemn you. It's not. It's not meant to condemn you. But let me also say that as I begin to write this message, it crushed me to my core. It crushed me when I begin to write this message because I myself sometimes can drift away into doing what I want to do, going where I want to go, living out the desires of my flesh. You see, I'm praying for a mighty move of God to happen in the earth, but I haven't, at some points in time of my life, been wholeheartedly willing to allow God to move through me. You see, in order for God to move mightily on this earth, he needs our hands. He needs our feet. He needs our mouth. He needs our eyes. He needs our mind. He needs all of us. He don't need half of you today and half of you tomorrow. You got to be all in with God. God wants it all. He wants all of you. He wants you to surrender to him. He wants you to be a part of the family's business. Just like our Savior Jesus Christ was about God's business. And I find myself crying out to God as I wrote this message. I've been beginning to ask God to please forgive me for drifting sometimes. Please forgive me for getting off the course. Please forgive me for allowing the things of this world to so occupy my time that I don't have time to do what you asked me to do. And as I begin to cry out to the Father, asking him, how can I fix this? What can I do now to fix this? And just like our gracious Father, in such a gentle voice, I heard the Father say, return to me. Return to me. Maybe this morning, you've gotten off course from what God has called you to do. And now, like me, you begin to cry out to God because you've seen where you've dropped the ball. You begin to cry out to God and ask God, how can I fix this? What can I do now? Well, I bring good news to you this morning. And if that is you this morning and you've gotten off the course and gotten off the path that God has placed you on, the word of the God is return. Return to me. Return to me.
This is good. This is good.
If that is you this morning and you want to go deeper to God, with God, it's just that simple. This message that I'm sharing this morning, return unto me. Again, it's not meant to bring shame on you. No, we cover your shame. Hallelujah. Amen. We are the church, and we will cover your shame. We will put our hands over you if you've gotten off course, and we will undergird you, and we will help you, and we will restore you back to your rightful place. It is not meant to bring shame on you. This message is not meant to step on your toes. It's not meant to condemn you if you've missed the mark. This message is meant to encourage you, inspire you, and motivate you. It's here to motivate each and every individual in the sound of my voice to dedicate one's heart to God.
Truth will set you free.
In return to our first love. I believe when we first accept Jesus Christ into our hearts and we come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ through the Spirit of God, our first love is to show the love of God and share the gospel message of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When I first gave my life to Christ many years ago, I did what God asked me to do. I did what God commanded me to do. I shared the gospel of Jesus Christ every place the sole of my feet touched. Come on. I've shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with doctors and lawyers and the highly educated. I've shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with dope dealers, dope heads, thugs, and gangsters that I grew up with. And I led many of them to the Lord. I've laid my hands on the sick and watched God perform miracle after miracle after miracle. Growths the size of golf balls healed in the name of Jesus. Eyes healed of pterygiums. Dislocated bones realigned in the power of God. And I'm telling you these things not because it's about me, because I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. It is not about me. The reason I'm sharing these things with you this morning, because here is what I want you to know. When you return to God, the power of the Holy Spirit will explode in your life. It'll explode in your life if you allow him to move mightily through you. If you will just move the fear and the discouragement and go, he will move mightily through you. I've witnessed it with my own eyes on my own son. I've watched God heal his eyes. Scales fall off of his eyes in the name of Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit will explode in your life. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. In verse 8, it reads, while he was with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem. Whew. Don't leave here without the power. Amen. Jesus, don't leave without the power. He commanded them to not leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which he said, you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in just a few days. Verse 8 says, you will receive power. We need power to break the cursed system of this society. We need power to break the curse over our children who have gone astray. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to cover our schools. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to bring the orphanage back. We need the power of God. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will be his witnesses on your job. You will be his witnesses in your business. You will be his witnesses in the marketplace, in your family, in your community. You will be a witness for Jesus. Hallelujah. If we're ever going to see a revival in our generation, a mighty move of God on the earth, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, then each individual in the sound of my voice is going to have to dedicate one's heart to God.
Yes, amen.
Because revival starts with you.
That's right.
A mighty move of God on this earth, it starts with you. An outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it starts with you. You can have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit wherever the sole of your feet touches. Come on. Just believe that the power of God resides in you. And the power of the Holy Spirit can only flow through you when you are wholeheartedly. When you are wholeheartedly being a witness for Jesus Christ. Revival begins in our heart, flows through our souls, into our lives, then into the lives of those that we are willing to witness to. Revival begins in our heart, It's about what takes place on the inside of you. And until we realize the roadblocks to revival are internal, we will struggle to find out what keeps stealing the joy and power from our lives. We can look on the outside all day long if we want and play the blame game. Blame my family, blame my friends, blame my boss, blame my finances. Blame someone for your poor spiritual condition. Blame someone for your spiritual dryness. Blame someone for your guilt and shame. The truth is, what keeps you from a mighty move of God is what's happening in your heart. It's what's happening in your heart. So, what can we do? What can we do to fix this? The same question that I asked God, what can we do to fix this? And he said, return to me. Amen. And he gave me three heart appointments. Three heart appointments that every born again believer in here, we have to make each and every day of our lives. The first heart appointment that we have to make each and every day of our lives so that we can see the power of the Holy Spirit move mightily in our lives and through our lives is we need to always guard our hearts. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 23, it reads, my son, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to my sayings. Don't lose sight of them. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. Above all else is literally more guarding than anything. Solomon, who is believed to be the wisest man who ever lived in his time, and who is also accredited for writing chapters 1 through 29 of our Proverbs, he writes to us and tells us to guard our hearts more than we guard anything else in our lives. Guard your heart more than you guard your family. Because if your heart is wicked, you cannot protect your family. If your heart is broken, you can't watch over your family. Guard your heart more than you guard your family. That's how important it is. Because if your heart is right, you'll do right by your wife. You'll do right by your children. You'll do right by your church. You'll do right by your job. Guard your heart more than you guard your career. Yes, you put in a lot of long hours. Yes, you work hard for it. Yes, according to the records, you deserve it. But don't let it take you astray. Don't let it take you off the path that God has placed you on. If your career is causing conflict with you reading the Word of God, with you fellowshipping with other believers, with you being a part of God's business, is it worth it to gain the world and lose your soul? Guard your heart more than you guard your career. Guard your heart more than you guard your money. Yes, we all know we need money. We need lots of money. We do. We live in this earth realm. It takes money to survive. But don't let money reign over you. Amen. The root of evil, wickedness, is the money. Not that money is wicked, but if it can cause you to get off the path of God, then something's not right there. Speak truth, brother. Speak truth. Guard your heart more than you guard your money. To guard something is to make sure that it doesn't get away and it is safe from any attacks. In Hebrew, the heart is the location of knowledge and also the preconscious source of decisions. Your heart is who you are. When you are at your deliberating table and you got these voices in your head, your heart plays a part in that. And your heart can line up with the two voices. Who are you aligning your decisions with? Are you aligning your decisions with the Word of God? Or are you aligning your decisions with the corrupted system, the broken society, the Babylonian system? We have to guard our hearts. Because it directs all of our thoughts and our emotions. Our heart directs all of our thoughts and our emotions. And you can educate your heart. You can consciously form and modify a worldview after which your decisions and your actions will flow from it. And this is very tricky because this education, it could be worldly, carried out by the flesh and the broken system, the curse-based system, or it could be godly, carried out by the Word of God, carried out by the power of the Holy Spirit, carried out by the one true and living God. We have to, above all else, guard our hearts. Guard your heart. Young people, listen to me, please. Please listen to me. Guard your hearts from the different worldviews that plague our world today. There's so many things pulling our children away from the truth. And young people, please listen to me. I know you may not understand it all right now, but if you would just give God a chance and you would just walk with God for a while and you would just listen for God for a while, I promise you that God will reveal himself to you and you will come into the knowledge of the true and living God. And you will never turn your back on him. Give him just a while. And I promise you, he'll walk with you through your trouble. He'll walk with you through your depression. He'll walk with you through your anxiety. He'll walk with you through your shame. But you got to walk with him. You got to walk with him. I took my children to the store. I had three older children at a time and my little baby. And I promised them that I was going to give them $300. And I gave them $300. And when we got to the mall, they went their separate ways. And I said, well, meet us back here at a certain time. And we met back there at a certain time. But my baby that was walking with me, he had more stuff than them. And they said, well, Daddy, how he got more stuff than me? And I said, well, because he walked with me a little while. You ran off and left me. But because he walked with me, he had the favor of God on his life. And when he pointed at it and asked for it, and I was able to get it, I got it for him. So if you walk with God just a little while, you'll find his favor. You'll begin to be like Ruth. You'll begin to pick up handfuls on purpose. You'll begin to meet your Boaz, the ruler of it all. Hallelujah. Praise to the living God. Guard your hearts, young people, from the different worldviews that plague our world today. Guard your heart from the corruption that is in our world today. Guard your heart from the hate. From the hate that is in our world today. That's ungodly. Guard your heart from that. Don't eat that seed. Because if you eat the seed of bitterness, it'll corrupt your whole being. Don't eat that seed. Guard your heart from the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Because these things did not come from our God. And if we are ever going to see Holy Spirit move mightily in our lives, through our lives, into the lives of others, we have to, above all else, guard our hearts. Our second heart appointment that we must make each and every day is to keep a grateful heart. Keep a grateful heart. I know it may be bad at the moment, but trouble don't last always. Keep a grateful heart and a good attitude, and you'll be able to go through the shadow of the valley of death. I shall fear no evil, for his rod and his staff is with me. You will be able to go through that situation with joy and peace in your heart. You will be able to lie down on your bed at night and get a peaceful night's sleep. Jesus. Keep a grateful heart. Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. As you know, David, the writer of this song, David experienced a lot of trials and tribulations in his life. David was pursued by Saul and his army for many, many years. They tried to take his life. David lost a child at a very, very young age. And David never got to finish his dreams, building a temple for God to dwell in. But in spite of all that he went through, David chose to push past the pain, push past the hurt, push past the failures. He chose to be grateful towards God because of all that God had done. He chose to be grateful and bless God with his praise and with his worship because God allowed him to share in the benefits of the kingdom. And you and I, God has allowed us to share in the benefits of the kingdom. Not that we deserve anything, but God in his mercy allowed us because of Jesus Christ. The promise is to Jesus Christ, but we are beneficiaries of what Jesus Christ has done. He took our shame. He took our sin. He buried it in a grave. He got up, Lord Jesus, and he left it there. God has allowed us to share in the benefits of the kingdom. He forgave our iniquities. He heals us from our diseases. He redeems our lives from the pit of hell. He crowns us with steadfast love, mercy, and satisfies us with good. And because David turned his focus towards the goodness of God, instead of all the trouble that he was having in his life, God was able to continue to use David and move mightily in his life and to the lives of others. And that same God will use you and I mightily for the kingdom if we would just keep a grateful heart. And my final heart appointment that we need to make every day is to keep a generous heart. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9, chapter 9, verse 6 through 8, it reads, Now remember this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows generously that blessings may come to others will also reap generously and be blessed. Let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose, just as he has decided in his heart. Not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver and delights in the one whose heart is in his gift. And God is able to make all grace, every earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances, regardless what the need be, self-sufficient in everything, being completely self-sufficient in him and having an abundance for every good work and act of charity. Generosity embraces a biblical understanding of stewardship. This means first, God owns everything. Second, what we have has been given to us by God. And third, the resources that we possess are assets that are to be invested in the kingdom. Now, to keep a generous heart, we must understand what it means to be a steward, recognizing that what we have is not our own. To keep a generous heart, we must consistently confess that Jesus is Lord, period. Amen. Jesus is Lord, period. He's Lord over my money. He's Lord over my possessions. He's Lord over my talents and my treasures. He's Lord over my positions of authority. He's Lord over my talents. He is Lord, period. We can't keep a generous heart without an appropriate discipline of biblical stewardship, which Christian stewardship, like all good works, flow from a heart of love for God and others rather than a sense of duty. Keep a generous heart this morning. Now this message, again, return unto me. Again, it's about dedicating one's heart to God so that the power of God through the Holy Spirit can move mightily in our lives, through our lives, and into the lives of others. That is the family's business. And we are a part of the business. Thank God that he allowed us to be a part of his business. You don't have to look for success once you become a born-again Christian. Success follows you because the kingdom is successful. There's prosperity in the kingdom. There's everything that you need in the kingdom. Be a part of God's business. Imagine with me. Imagine if every born-again believer on the face of this earth would dedicate one's heart wholeheartedly to God. Wholeheartedly guarding our hearts, not allowing the junk of this world to contaminate the purity that God has placed in inside of each and every one of us. Wholeheartedly keeping a grateful heart of love, joy, peace, smiles, hugs, laughter, motivation, inspiration, encouragement, flowing from the depths of who we are. Wholeheartedly keeping a generous heart, giving of our time, our talents, and resources, so that the kingdom of our beloved Savior Jesus Christ can continue to help people find, follow, and be like Jesus. I have no doubt in my mind, I have no doubt in my heart that the God that we serve, the God of creation, the God of the Bible, the God of Israel, the one true and living God, I have no doubt in my heart, I have no doubt in my mind, the evidence is all around us, God is ready to move mightily. God is ready to move mightily in our lives, through our lives, into the lives of others. But he needs our hands, our feet, our eyes. He needs our mouth, our minds. He needs all of our heart to move mightily in this world today. My only challenge to every individual in the sound of my voice, including myself, is that we wholeheartedly return to him. I challenge you this morning to dedicate your life to the family's business so that God can move mightily on this earth. Well, God bless you. Thank you all so much for coming out. I pray that that message has been a blessing to you in some shape, form, or fashion. Thank you all again for inviting me back. I love you guys so much. And now, if you would, please stand all across this room. Please stand in the presence of the Lord. I want to pronounce the blessing of the Lord over your lives, over your life, over your family's life, over your situations, over what's going on in your heart right now. I want to declare the blessing of the Lord over you and your family this morning. Right now, slip those hands up towards heaven as an act of worship. God sees you right now. Amen. The one. He left the 99 for the one. If there's one among you who's crying out from the depths of your heart, God sees you right now. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. It is in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And all of God's children will say, amen, 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 amen. Now this morning, I don't want to stand here and assume that everybody in this building has received salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. So I want to extend that opportunity to somebody who may not have received Christ as their Savior. If that is you this morning, we want to grant you that opportunity right now. Just right where you are, all you have to do is pray this prayer with me. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you, it's the best thing that ever happened to you. Just give him a little time and let him work in your life, and you will see the manifestation of his hand moving on you and upon you. If that is you right now, just pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I'll make you the Lord of my life. My friend, if you prayed that simple prayer, Romans chapter 10, verse 8 says that you are born again. And we just want to welcome you to the family of God. And if you made that decision this morning to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please fill out that Connect card. Please fill it out. We want to connect with you. We want to come alongside of you. We want to help you on your new journey as a born again believer. Also this morning, when the worship team begins to play, this altar is going to be open. The altar will be open this morning. If there's anything in your heart that you know the Lord has been dealing with you about getting off the path, if you know the Lord has been dealing with you, calling you to come back to a certain place, come back to a certain thing, I don't know what it is, but you know what it is. If the Lord is speaking to you this morning, the word of the Lord is returned to him. This altar is going to be open this morning. Don't leave this service without the power of God. Don't leave this service without coming down here and sharing your heart with God, because God is the God of restoration. God is the God of another chance. And no matter what you've done and no matter where you've been, God will restore you just like he restored the prodigal son. When the prodigal son hit rock bottom, God was there waiting on him to come back. God is here waiting on you to come back this morning. All you got to do is come down. And he'll cover your shame. He'll put a robe on you. He'll put a ring on your finger. He'll put shoes on your feet. He'll make you new again. So when the worship team begins to play, if you need to come down to this altar this morning, please don't hesitate. Run down, because God has something for you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I thank you all for allowing me to come back and share the word of God with you. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for having me. God bless you all. The altar is open.